We're going to hear from Scripture now. We've been looking recently at Jesus saying, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection of the life. And we're moving on to another of these things that Jesus claimed for himself. And Martin's going to read for us from John chapter 15.
I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce more fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down others' life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You don't choose me, I choose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for. Using my name, this is my command. Love each other. Praise be to God.
Father, please speak your word clearly to us today, and may we hear what we need to hear, each one of us today. Amen. I've got a couple of props with me today. I've got some grapes with me. I don't think there's any little children in at the moment, so we don't need to worry about having to cut them in half. Okay, Jesus talks about, I'm the vine, you are the branches. The aim of the vine is to produce the fruit. So we've got some fruit here today. And all the goodness that produces this grape comes from the vine. Yeah, I mean, I know the sun, and the sun is important as well, but all the nutrition, everything that produces these grapes comes from the vine. The branch has work to do, but the ultimate source of everything is the vine itself. So what I'd like us to do as I'm talking this morning is we're going to pass the grapes around. If you'd like to eat one, just have one to eat. Think about where all the source of that goodness came from. If you'd like to just take one or two and just hold them and just think about the fruit that God wants to bring into your life, then please do that. God wants fruit from us. And the fruit that he wants, yeah, there's the list of nine we mentioned earlier, but really it comes down in the end, everything comes down to one, which is love. God calls his people to love. We receive the love. We are the branches. We receive the love from the vine, and we produce that love to give out to other people. So I'm going to take a grape. Please do make sure that it passes all the way around. You can pass it around a second time if you like. The other prop I've got here this morning is I've got my towel here. Because I wanted to remind us that when Jesus is talking here, as John tells the story in his gospel, it's just after the time when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And to their utter astonishment, he got up, he took a towel, he put it around his waist. And this was the job of a slave. So Jesus isn't just saying, well, you know, I'll do sort of an odds and ends bits of job here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you just how incredible my love for you is. You have to realize that if you're going to pass this love on, you've got to receive that love first. So this towel's reasonably clean, so we'll be okay with it today. It's reasonably clean. It's pretty clean. Okay, it's clean. And we pass it around. People are getting worried now. What germs are on this towel? But actually, if you do feel any discomfort, I suppose Jesus felt an incredible amount, not Jesus felt, but Jesus' friends felt an incredible amount of discomfort. Jesus was trying to make them feel uncomfortable because he wanted them to know just how incredible his love for them was. And he says to them after he's done it, I've set you an example. He says, I've done this. Now you go and do the same. So when in chapter 15 he's talking about receiving his love, remaining in his love, abiding in his love, all of that stuff, they've just had this really striking example of what love might look like. Actually, I was in Manchester yesterday, and apart from noticing the bits of paper outside outside Thomas Cook, rather, I walked past a pub in the middle of Manchester yesterday, and on the window, attached to the window of this pub, on the inside, there was a bit of paper, and there was a message that was typed on that bit of paper. And the message said, no hate here, we do love. What an incredible thing to see on the outside of a pub. I thought, we ought to nick that for our slogan. You know, no hate in here. We are the people who have met the love of Jesus. Now, I have no idea what... I have no idea what that pub was like. I have no idea what was going on in that pub or what had gone on in the past that made them put that notice outside the door. I mean, my guess is that they'd have some very uncomfortable experiences. Maybe people had come in who were racist or sexist or homophobic or whatever it was, and they decided to put down a marker that this pub was going to be a place of love, no matter what anything else was like outside. And I praise God for everybody who has a desire to love, everybody who has seen that hatred is not the way forward. And in our Bible reading today, here is Jesus talking about love on a level that people do not normally see. Now, all of the images that we've been talking about where Jesus says, I am, all of them, one way or another, are about life. That is the message of John's gospel. We've been seeing that as we've gone through the gospel, that John has basically two things to say about Jesus that he says repeatedly in his gospel. The first thing that he says is that Jesus is God's son. The second thing that he says is if you believe in Jesus, you get eternal life. So he tells you this wonderful story of Jesus dying and rising again and coming back to his disciples and saying to them, I give you this life that isn't the life that you've normally got. It's the life of resurrection. So here we are today with another of these pictures, Jesus saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. And once more, it's all about life. The branches on the vine are only alive because they are attached to the vine. The branches are only producing anything good because they are attached to the vine. So Jesus is saying to us, yet again, using yet another picture, I am the one who gives eternal life. Now, I believe that wherever there is love, then Jesus is around. Or to put it in a slightly different language, the eternal word of God that took flesh in Jesus is around, if people would rather say it that way. I believe that God is involved wherever there is love. But the world needs to know that 2,000 years ago, there was this man in whom God's love was utterly focused. And he says to us today, believe in me, because I am the source of love. And I am able to create communities that live in that love and give that love away. Now, we didn't have time to read everything from John 13 when Jesus washes the disciples' feet up to John 17 when Jesus prays for his disciples. There's so much wonderful stuff that's in there. But time and time again, what Jesus is saying comes back to love. Just before Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, it says Jesus loved them to the end, which probably means that Jesus loved his disciples as far as it is possible to love. Isn't that wonderful today? You know, perhaps for some of us today, it's not about us discovering that Jesus loves us. It's about Jesus showing us how far love goes. There is no limit. As far as love can possibly go, Jesus has gone that far in his love for us. And then we have the new commandment that Jesus gives in John 13 and repeats a couple of times. This new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. No hate here because we do love. No hate here because we have seen the tremendous extent of the love of Jesus for us. And because he is growing that love inside us. Remember, all of this is being said the day before Jesus' crucifixion. He's going to be smashed up on that cross. But what he wants his disciples to know is that love is going to keep going and love is going to grow. Jesus says, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, because love is the trademark of Jesus. And if people see real love, people will recognize that it comes from him. Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you're the one who loves me. And if you love me, just try and get this, because this is incredible. if you love me, you will be loved by my Father, and I will love you, and I will show myself to you. Do you see the significance of what we're doing in church this morning? We're actually coming here to seek to receive from the love of God. We're seeking to love God. And Jesus says, as we live in that love, that's the place where God, Jesus, is revealed to us. And then Jesus says that if we love him, that the Father and Jesus will come and they will make their home amongst us. Jesus says, chapter 15, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus says, to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends. I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago who was talking about, you know, why does God want servants? Why does God want people to do stuff for him? And I said, yeah, but Jesus said something about that. Jesus says he doesn't want servants. I mean, he wants people who will do what he's saying, but he doesn't want servants who are doing things because they've been told to do it. He wants friends who love him, friends who like him, friends who agree with him, and friends who do what he commands, not because they've been told to do it, but because the love of God is so flowing through them that that's what they do. Jesus says today, I call you friends, not servants. When Jesus prays for his disciples, he talks about love in a number of verses, but he prays to God that he says to God his Father, I'm going to make you known to the people who come after me. And he says, so that the love you have for me may be in them and that I may be in them. Now, all this is not easy to understand. One of the things that we have seen looking through these I am sayings of Jesus, I'm the light of the world, I'm the bread of life, etc., is that it seems that whenever people hear them, they struggle to understand. They say, what is he talking about? We don't get it. Jesus is trying to use words to say something that is beyond any sort of words. So if we find ourselves tripping up, well, what precisely does he mean by that? Then that shouldn't surprise us. It's how it is. But in this chapter, what Jesus is trying to say to them is, look, it's about love. I love you. The Father loves you. We want to come and we want to make our home in you. And we want you to be a community of love. And we want the world to see that you are this incredible community of love. I just want to say one other thing about this passage today, because this is something that really struck me this week. Quite often Christians talk about prayer. We want to be able to pray better. Now, if you want to pray better, praise God. I do. I don't claim to be great at praying at all. I find, like the Apostle Paul found, that I often don't have the words and I haven't really got a clue what to say. You know, and I sort of stand even here on a Sunday morning and it's time to lead the prayers and I think, I really don't know what to say this morning. I've got some issues. I can talk about them. So how do we get better at praying? Now, there are a whole load of books about this. There's a whole load of resources about this. There's a whole load of techniques that we can try, and a lot of them are really good. I really would recommend the 247prayer.com website, not .co.uk, because that's about stuff going on in this country, but their international website. There's great stuff there, and it's really helpful. But Jesus, in our Bible reading this morning, tells us something about prayer that might just be the most important lesson about prayer at all. That if we are to get to the point where we can pray confidently and God answers our prayers, it's not about prayer techniques. It's not about going into a room on our own, although don't misunderstand me. Jesus tells us that if we do that, our Father will reward us. So I'm not saying don't do it. But what he's saying is the fundamental thing is the love that we have. The thing that will drive us to pray well is love. So here is Jesus saying to his disciples, I love you. Remember when we looked at the story of Lazarus a couple of weeks or so ago? People looked at Jesus weeping at the death of Lazarus and they said, see how much he loved him. And then Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. But before that, he says, you know, I thank you, Father, that you've heard me. And there's a link there between the incredible love that Jesus has for Lazarus and his family and the fact that God answers prayer. And Jesus is saying to his disciples here, I'm laying down my life for you. You know, what you've seen me act out in terms of, you know, washing feet, you're about to see what laying down a life actually looks like. So Jesus is saying to us, learn to love. If you want to learn to pray, learn to love. You see, a lot of our prayers are pretty selfish. Yeah? I mean, I confess, you know, sometimes when I pray, it's Lord, give me this, Lord, give me that, Lord, give me the other. Lord, keep me well. Yeah. How is it often, you know, when we get a health scare? You know, it's Lord, let the results be good. Because that's what we want. And again, those prayers are good. God wants our honest prayers. But somehow, God is looking to bring us to a point where our love for him and our love for others is what really matters. And in the life of Jesus, we have this incredible demonstration of somebody who loved to the end and somebody who knew what it was to get his prayers answered by God. Jesus says, I've called you that you might bear fruit. I've called you that the fruit that you bear might last. I've called you that you can live in the life that I have for you. And as you live in it, your ability to pray will grow. So maybe one of the things when we pray, we need to pray is, Lord, increase my love. Because, Lord, you're the source of all love. So I want to receive that love from you. I want to be connected. You know, sometimes we do need to be pruned. You know, we're a branch that's producing some fruit. We're producing some love. And it's good. It's really good. But Jesus is saying, I want to produce more. And I believe that when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, that's what he was doing. He was acting out cleaning them or pruning them. He was acting out trying to get rid of the stuff in them that wasn't so much unloving, but not loving enough. Peter loved Jesus, but Peter had to come to terms with the fact that there was a new level that he had to get to. So we pray today, Lord, you are the vine, we are the branches. Keep us abiding in you. Lord, we want to learn love and we want to learn how that impacts our prayer. And perhaps what this is saying to us is we want to improve our prayer life. I was going to say, let's improve our love life. That sounds wrong. But let's improve the way that we love one another. For his glory, because that's what Jesus says. He's telling us all of this to bring great glory to the Father. He wants to bring that glory, and he does it by bringing love. So we need to stay connected to Jesus. I want us to sing a song that we've learned fairly recently. It's a song that talks about the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And as we're singing it, what I'd like you to do is, you know, don't just mouth the words, but actually see if you can sort of think about them and just try and ponder how incredible God's love is for you, that he sent Jesus for you. How incredible God's love is for us, this love that will not let us go. Not just so that we can feel good that we are loved, but so that we can pass on that love and so that we can seek to remain, because we must stay connected. The branch must stay connected to the vine.